Good morning, online community. I think we got started a little late today, having more technical issues. Hopefully we'll get that ironed out next week. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you want to register your attendance, you can do that. And that really helps us to know the families who may not be connecting with us during this time. And we want to know that. And so if you could register, that would help us make that determination. You'll hear more about this, but Family Camp is moving to online only, and the material for that ministry effort will be available on the 18th of July, and there'll be opportunities to pick up materials at the church office next week and then the week after that, and Carly will get more information out about that. So Family Camp is moving online. And starting tomorrow, the elementary camp is right, Marv. We're still on for the elementary camp. Starts tomorrow, and Marv's leading that camp. I know Ben Lee is part of the sponsorship team for that. Ben's in our congregation, so be sure to lift up that effort this week. Is everybody really doing okay? Face mask and all? You know, Jeff and I were talking this morning about everything that's going on, and you know, he made the statement, you know, if just one of these issues we're dealing with were to happen at once, it would be hard to walk through that, staying encouraged. But when you compound all of those things, it could be maybe just a little overwhelming. And as he was talking, a couple of scriptures came to mind, and I just love how the Holy Spirit does that. Because if you ask me to quote, hey, Billy, quote John 17:13, I don't know that. But it's just amazing that I know probably half a dozen scriptures. I know the address, but it's amazing that there may be hundreds of them tucked up in here somewhere. It seemed like God brings those out just at the right time. So hopefully this will help us this morning as we move forward. Jeff and I were talking about, you know, where are we going with this thing? You know, how's it going to end? When will it end, or will it end? And Matthew 6:34 come to mind. Tomorrow, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, we don't know if school's going to start in person in August. And we need to plan accordingly, but that's going to affect things if it doesn't. We have a little granddaughter that starts kindergarten this year, and mom and dad can't homeschool her. They just can't take off work to do that. So grandparents may be homeschooling our little granddaughter. So we just don't know. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then scripture out of Hebrews 12 came to mind. And whoever wrote Hebrews, I know we know the Holy Spirit did, but the physical person that wrote that, we don't know if that was Paul or somebody else. In the 12th chapter, he's speaking about this encounter that the nation of Israel had with God at the mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. And God comes down on the mountain, and it was a terrifying experience for the people. I mean, there was fire and smoke, and there was this shaking and lightning, and all this noise, trumpet blasts. And the people begged Moses, you know, don't let God speak to us lest we die. If he wants to know what we need to, he wants us to know what he wants us to know, let him tell you and you come tell us. It was a terrifying experience. And so I'm gonna read some of that after the writer mentioned that. He said, at that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, as Jeff says, if we see therefore, we need to go back and see why therefore is there. Let us be grateful. Let us be grateful. For we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and all. So I try to get a picture in my mind what this looks like. You know, outside of the kingdom, things are just chaotic. Things are shaking. 3 or 4 years ago, we had new windows put in our 1952 model house. And they were double-pane windows. And up to that point, any time the wind blew, we could hear it. Anytime a car drove by down our street, we could hear it. And we got these new windows in, and one day I looked outside and, hey, the wind must be blowing. Because I see the trees moving. And cars drive by, and I don't even hear them. And for me, that's the picture I get. Inside this kingdom, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. Inside the kingdom, those things cannot be shaken. God is incredibly constant. Those things will remain. So regardless of the external situations, they're not going away. They're there. We can't ignore them. But I think we need a kingdom perspective as we move forward. We need an eternal perspective as we move forward. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? Okay. So I want to pray into that this morning. Encourage you to engage the Lord in prayer as well as I pray. So, Father, we love you. And, Father, we hate this virus. We hate that the death it's causing. We hate the panic it's causing, the chaos that it's causing, the division that it's causing. Lord, it's almost like the enemy's fingerprints are all over it. So, Father, we pray against his activity. God, we pray against the schemes he has designed against the body of Christ. And Lord, I need a kingdom perspective in regard to what's going on. I think the church needs a kingdom perspective. Lord, you've planted us right in the middle of something that you're involved in that cannot be shaken, that cannot change, that's incredibly constant. So, Lord, give us that perspective by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to fix our eyes on the things that are above, Jesus, where you're seated at the right hand of the Father, not on the things of the earth. And, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Encourage hearts this morning, Lord. Whether we have a face mask on or not have a face mask on, encourage us this morning, God. And Lord, I just want to boldly ask that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you eradicate this virus from the face of the earth. It's causing so much confusion, Lord, and you're not the author of confusion. So, Lord, move, God, for your glory. Move, Father, on your behalf. Lord, I just pray that you do it in such a way where it just astounds the scientific community. It astounds the medical community to where they can't come to any other conclusion, God, that other than you dealt with this. It had to be you. So, Father, glorify yourself. Lord, I don't know, there just seemed like there's a heaviness here this morning, Lord. I just pray that you free us up to worship you unhindered. Fill this house with joy. Bless these people that are here. And God, with our face mask on, help us to sing at the top of our lungs. Even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's hot in there, help us to focus on you and you alone during this time. Oh, Father, we love you so. Thank you for who you are. Touch us this morning, God. Touch the people in their homes this morning, oh God. We just want to love you more, love you better. Help us to express that during our worship. Father, we thank you for prayer, that opportunity, one that we don't take advantage of enough. I thank you for grace that allows us to come to you the next time and pray to you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Come on, let's stand up. What to say, Lord, if you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. You have saved me, Lord. I give all that I am to you. But every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Together, and every desire. Well, good morning again. Welcome everybody to church. Did everybody have a good fourth? Is this on, Steve? Can you hear me out there, Steve? Did everybody have a good fourth? Did you eat too much? Pop a few fireworks? I could hardly sleep last night. Me and my dog were kind of going crazy with all the fireworks going till all hours of the morning. But anyway, we are here. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. If you are visiting with us this morning, even online, if you are new to our church, I welcome you. I hope you feel the love of Christ. And at the end of the service, I will be at this end of the foyer if you're here in the sanctuary, and I would love to meet you if you are new to our church, if you are our guest, and I have a gift for you. So if you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. So, who's He talking to? He's talking to us, isn't He? If we've been encouraged by Christ, if we've been comforted by His love, if we have fellowship with His Spirit, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, but did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, there's that word, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you now to be present with us in this place and in every home that is listening. You, God, you are a big God. So come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I ran across this little story I want to read to you. I think it's probably something that we maybe need to hear. When life becomes a challenge, look at things from your dog's perspective. Man, as I read this, I'm thinking we got this goofy little dog that's about 11 months old, and man, it fits to a T. Today is going to be the best day ever. Just remember that, okay? So in the morning, before your people get up, go right next to their heads and breathe heavily with excitement so that they too will catch your enthusiasm about this being the best day ever. It will be even better than yesterday, which was the best day to date. After eating breakfast, be sure to always go find the person who fixed your meal for you and nuzzle their hand in gratitude. They always remember to feed you. They are therefore the best humans ever. And isn't food just amazing? Be grateful all morning that you can work like a dog. This often involves working with your eyes closed. Whether you're on the couch, the dog bed, or the regular bed that you're not actually supposed to jump on, work is so important. During the lunch hour, paw your human insistently so that they understand it's time to stop working and enjoy the neighborhood. Drag them to the front door. Isn't it great when people understand what you're telling them? Communication is so important. When you go outside, run around in circles a few times and bark with joy. You love your yard. You love your life. In the neighborhood, take time to greet your friends and sniff them. I would not recommend that, church. Sniffing them indicates that you think they are wonderful and interesting, and they are. They are the best friends you've ever had. When you walk around, I'm not sure you can say this in church, but when you walk around and read your P-mail, savor the moment. P-mail, anybody get it? Okay. Someone took the time to leave you a message. Rover was here. So leave a message back and be grateful for friends and smells and this fabulous world. Did we mention that this is the best day ever? When the people you love walk in the front door, drop everything in your excitement. Rush to them, jump up and down, slather them with kisses. They are the most remarkable and beautiful creatures in the world. And you have to let them know that every single day, especially this, your best day ever. Man, aren't dogs awesome? They're always happy to see you. You can be mean to them and they still love you. You can say ugly things to them and they still want your acceptance. Today's message is attitude is a choice. Now, I was telling Billy earlier as we were visiting that this is the third week in a row that I've been preaching to me and I've allowed you guys to listen in. You know, this with the things that are going on in our world, man, it's easy to get just to be heavy, isn't it? Or is anybody out there? I know our numbers are down a little bit with the fourth, but is anybody out there? You got to give me a little bit here. Okay, Scott, give me a little bit. Let me know you're out there. The stuff that we're facing, it's just a heaviness to it. The message title, Attitude is a Choice, I've put part of this quote from Chuck Swindoll in my email this week, but I want to read these two or three sentences here. Chuck Swindoll, a pastor, a very prominent pastor in our nation. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. Is anybody relating yet? It will make or break, he's speaking of attitude, will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We are in charge of our attitudes. I'll say this, and I'm going to brag a little bit on our senior adults, and I know some of them are here, but many of you are at home. I tell people, I've told people for the last 18, 19 years since I've been here, I believe with all my heart that senior adults make or break a church. I mean, If you I've seen it because I've preached around different churches before I came here, and I've seen it. You walk into a church and you can the attitude you catch the attitude and the spirit of that church very quickly. Huh, Larry? I mean, it's very evident. And if you run into an aging population that is bitter, and it's like, I don't like all this new stuff, and I want things my way. If that's the attitude, I mean, it permeates the church. And it can also permeate a home, relationships. But if you, in our case here, I have been so blessed by our senior adults that they have always encouraged me and just want what's best for our church and for the kingdom, and that is a blessing. Attitude is a choice. So I want to unpack this scripture today, Philippians 2 that we just read. The first thing is we think about attitude. Did you know, before I go there, you heard the old saying, it's like, man, he's got an attitude. You ever heard that? That's usually said in a negative tone. Man, they've got an attitude. Did you know that Jesus had an attitude? Did you know that? Jesus had an attitude. We are called, first point here, we are called to follow the example of Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So he had an attitude. We're to follow that example, that attitude. Well, what was his attitude? He made himself nothing. He considered others better than himself. He became a servant. He humbled himself. He had the right to be high and exalted. He had the right for us to bow down and worship him, but instead he humbled himself and became a servant. He had an attitude. And God's word is saying, that should be your attitude. Your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I tell you, that's a challenge in this world that we are in, the dynamics of what's going on. I mean, I watch the news and I read the paper and I read the internet and whatever, and it's just, I see different videos of things going on. I know all of y'all see these things, read these things, and I'm just like, holy cow, we've lost our mind. We've lost everything. Our attitude when all of this should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Consider others better than ourselves. And that's a challenge, church. Is it a challenge for anybody but me? How do we do that? Well, I think we ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us. Secondly, we are called, not only should our attitude be that of Christ Jesus, but we're called to put others first. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than ourselves. How challenging is that, church? Now look, I'm just being real here. Selfishness, self-centeredness comes really easy to us, doesn't it, as people? It's very instinctive. Now, I've said this before, but it's like we come out of the womb self-centered. I'm hungry. I'm dirty. I'm sleepy. I want attention. I mean, we come out, and it doesn't change in our own strength. It doesn't change as we get older. In fact, it can get very, very much worse. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, which is to put others above ourselves. Now notice it does not mean that we should be this whipping post that we just lie around and let people beat up on us all the time. No, it says each of you should look not only to your own interests. So he's given us permission to take care of yourself. But we shouldn't only be about our own interests, but we should also be about the interests of others. Now, so as we put others first, Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 5 this way. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we see that communicated throughout Scripture. Jesus said, the first will be last, the last will be first. I mean, there's this reverse order in Jesus' world that he's telling us, no, humble yourself. And that leads to the final point here. So if we take on the attitude of Christ by humbling ourselves and putting others first, then God will exalt the humble. Man, I see this, and I don't know how good I do this, how well I do this, but when somebody in our staff, when something goes well, I'll give you for instance, and Billy, I'm going to embarrass Billy back there, but Billy was instrumental in the Houses for Healing and helping coordinate and build that house and get that ministry coordinated and everything, and I just want you to know, Billy did that. Through the power of Christ, Billy did that. So, but our tendency is like, no, I want to take credit for that. I want to take credit for that. I want people to look at me and think that I do all these wonderful things. Man, we're a team here. In the staff and the laity, we are a team that's about God's business. So God, he exalts the humble. A lot of people want to tell everybody how great they are. Let somebody else say how great you are. And let God, even more so, let God exalt you. So there's that word therefore in verse 9. If our attitude is the same as Christ, which is being humble and putting others above himself, if we do that in the name of Christ, God will exalt us. God will exalt us. He will be glorified. Not only will he exalt us, he will be glorified in the process. James says it this way. James 4 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble ourselves and he will lift you up. I'll tell you, church, I don't know, some of you that are older than I am maybe walk through the things like the Second World War and things like that. Maybe you've seen more volatile times, but in my lifetime, I haven't. We have to, as the old song goes, we have to cling to the old rugged cross, church. It's all we got. I don't know about you, it's all I've got through these times. As chaos is abounding, following the example of Christ in humility and putting others first, and without being a whipping boy that just lets everybody walk all over you, it's okay to have convictions. It's okay to speak convictions, but it must be done in love. Jesus, as we lead into this time of communion this morning, Jesus said these words, and man, I don't know about you, but these are appropriate for me today. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Or is anybody else weary and burdened with all this? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can you just see, I want you to picture him, Jesus standing there with his arms open and saying those words, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And on that very night, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood, poured out for you. As you eat and drink this meal, remember me." As you come forward this morning to partake in this meal, I want you to just picture, as you're walking forward in the line, I want you to picture Jesus saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." As you come forward, I invite the praise team and the servers and the sound team to come forward. The invitation for this meal comes from Christ. If you have called on Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, you are welcome to come to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You are welcome if Christ is your Lord and Savior. For some of you have picked up communion elements, that you'll have those at home. You can partake there in your home with those. You will have a tray that will have the individual cracker in it that you can partake in of the bread, and then the individual cup with the juice in it that you can partake of that. There's a little wastebasket that you can dispose of those in each line. The invitation is from Christ. Come.
There is come.
never had this benediction before, but I'm going to tell you this. Go and have an attitude. Have an attitude that matches up with that of Christ Jesus. Put others first in humility, and He will exalt you in His mighty hand. God bless you. We are dismissed. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.